The ghost of Merle Haggard kept Sophia trapped in her house for 2 weeks. Every time she went to the door, she'd see him standing on her lawn, clutching his guitar and wagging a disapproving finger at her. She knew her medication would probably make him go away, just like she knew the real Merle Haggard was alive and well in California, but she hated how the pills made her feel. Stuffy, slow, like scratchy wool was wrapped around her brain. Merle left one morning, and another apparition took his place. This one came inside her house, ignoring all her wards and charms and trinkets, and stood in the corner of her kitchen. This one wore a crisp vintage suit and a featureless smudge of black smoke where its face should have been. Sophia hid in her closet until hunger got the better of her. She skittered into the kitchen with her head down and arms crossed over her fluffy pink bathrobe, making a beeline for the pantry. The smoke-faced man waved its arms frantically.
"Hi!"
it cried in a buzzing voice, like 1,000 flies fluttering their wings in unison.
"You, on our wavelength, carry our message. It's heavy, made of rocks."
"You aren't real," Sophia repeated like a mantra, shaking her head violently as she rummaged through the cluttered pantry. "You're a hallucination. Not real, no. Nothing to see here."
"Apocalypso dancing! Sunday, Sunday, Sunday! You'll want to cut your wrists with the whole knife, but you'll only need the edge."
She found a box of saltines and grabbed it hard enough to buckle the cardboard before fleeing the kitchen. Another smoke-faced man floated from her bedroom, this one dressed in an old-time professor's smock and cap. It advanced slowly up the shadowed hallway, feet dangling an inch above the faded shag carpet.
"We know you can see us," it buzzed.
"Go away," she shouted over her shoulder, running for the living room.
"You must warn the Faust,"
it called out.
"You must carry our message."
The doorbell chimed. Sophia scrambled to undo the deadbolt and yanked open the door, desperate for company. The woman on her porch could have been an Avon lady, dressed in a prim gray pantsuit, with her hair done up in a neat bun. But Sophia's gaze shot to the jagged scar carved along the side of her face. The scar stopped just short of one cold eye. Sophia took a halting step over the threshold, out into the sunlight. She blinked back tears and asked in a small voice,
Are you real? I'm having problems today."
Meadow Brand curled her lips into an unpleasant smile.
"I'm very real," Meadow said.
Then she showed Sophia the tiny pistol in her hand and shoved her back inside the house.